It's Monday, the 4th of January, 2016. Happy birthday to Al Jefferson and James Michael McAdoo. To the Red Rock Fantasy Basketball Monster Podcast, brought to you by moneyball.com.au and Dut. My name is Josh Lloyd, and if you want to be a sponsor of the podcast, just like Dut is for today, it's very straightforward. All you need to do is leave a review on iTunes, and you can become a daily sponsor of the show. Not only that, but you do get to help the podcast, and you get to leave any constructive criticism, any praise, anything you want to have. And it's great for me to read these things to see what people like and don't like. And a couple of great ones have come in that I'm definitely going to take into consideration for the upcoming shows. We you know, maybe just try and improve things, and always trying to do that as we move along with the show. Thanks to everyone who's done that, and big thanks to Dut for being today's sponsor. Moneyball.com.au is our other sponsor. You guys know all about that. If you live in Australia or New Zealand, the best daily fantasy sports site down here, make sure you're getting involved with Moneyball and hopefully winning yourself some money. All right. What more is there to say?
Let's get to it.
The monstrous line of the night. Had a couple of options here. I went with Jimmy Butler of the Chicago Bulls. Butler was fantastic. We know that he set a Chicago Bulls franchise record by scoring 40 points in a half, in the second half, more than Michael Jordan ever did. The strange thing is, he ended with 42. So he had two in the first half. 40 in the second half, which is just massive. Two threes, four rebounds, five assists, a steal, a block. He went 15 of 23 from the field. He went 10 of 11 from the free throw line. Just a massive, massive night from Jim Butler. Huge. And if anyone doesn't understand the reference to the title of the show, of this podcast, and this is what it is.
Because he's my butler.
Yeah, you need to go back and watch some Seinfeld. That's a very relatively early episode of Seinfeld. I'm going to enjoy playing that clip, I think.
Because he's my butler.
He's my butler because I am a Chicago fan, and it was a huge game from Jimmy Butler. He'd been a little bit quiet with some of his performances lately. Still pretty fantastic though. Really, like, that's just contributions all over the board. And what's he done for the season? Look, he's inside the top 20. Not quite where some people may have drafted him at the end of the first round. He's currently ranked 16th in 8 category leagues, but 22 points, a 3, 5 rebounds, 3.5 assists, 2 steals, almost a block on 46 and 83. They're very, very good numbers, and if you're in a roto league, that's probably bumped him up. That's like a superb rotisserie sort of line, basically positive contributions in every single category there. You're slightly under in field goals, slightly under in rebounds, but otherwise, been fantastic. He's definitely taken over this team as his own. And I think as far as the Bulls are going to go as far as Jimmy Butler can take them this season, I don't think there's much doubt about that at this point. He is the best player. He's obviously got a lot of helpers there, but he is the guy on this team. Before we get into the other nightly awards, got a new sponsor to announce. Pretty exciting news. SeatGeek is sponsoring today's podcast. I'm sure you guys, or I hope you guys have heard of SeatGeek. If you haven't, here we go. The next time you're looking for tickets for an NBA game, you need to check out SeatGeek. It's the smartest way to buy and sell NBA tickets. I'm going to put my little SeatGeek graphic up on the screen for you guys watching. There it is. SeatGeek's a ticket seller. But they're different to other sorts of ticket sellers. I went on there. I was looking at Brooklyn Nets tickets for all things. There's some really cheap tickets going on there. So if you want to go and see Shane Larkin in action, you can go on there and buy some Brooklyn Nets tickets, buy some Warriors tickets. My brother's just moved over to San Francisco, so he's going to be getting over there and buying some Warriors tickets to go see his new hometown team. He'll be going on SeatGeek and getting those tickets there. And Warriors tickets are pretty hard to find. But on SeatGeek, you know you're going to get the best value for money by looking on there and getting those tickets. It's very easy to use. It's very different to other ticket sites. It gets every option from other major ticket sites into one place to save you time. So it sources these other places, sites like Scorebig and things like that. It finds the tickets on there and aggregates it all together. So you don't have to go looking at multiple sites. SeatGeek always shows you the full price of the ticket up front, never hides any fees. and it gives you a ticket grade based on value to help figure out if it's a good deal or not. It's the best way to find undervalued tickets. If you have tickets that you can't use, you can also sell them on there. So that's another great way. Obviously, you're buying tickets, you can sell tickets as well. All of you guys, all of you listeners get a $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. To get your $20 rebate on tickets, go and download the free SeatGeek app. It's free, clearly. It's in the App Store, it's in the Google Play Store. Go to the Settings tab once you've downloaded that app and click Add a Promo Code and enter the promo code REDROCK, one word. Very important, one word. You can see it on the screen now, one word. Do that, then SeatGeek will send you $20 once you've made your first ticket purchase. Download the free SeatGeek app and enter promo code REDROCK today. So thank you to the guys at SeatGeek for getting on board and sponsoring the show and helping out. And you guys can show SeatGeek, yeah, that we've been in business as a group of fantasy basketball fans and basketball fans in general. Go on there, download the app, enter that promo code. And I'm sure that someone's going to go to an event. It doesn't have to be basketball. It could be anything. Concerts, music, kids events, any sort of sport. Go on to SeatGeek, use their promo code, and get yourself $20. It's really, really straightforward. So I do encourage you all to go and do that. Not only it helps the podcast, helps me attract new sponsors as well. When I can say, look at what we did with SeatGeek. Look at these great numbers that we put through, and you know, it helps the podcast get better. I can devote more time to it. I can devote more quality to it, and I think that's a win for everybody. So if you could go and show SeatGeek that we mean business, that would be fantastic. All right, let's get back into the action now, and let's talk about the waiver wire line of the night. I think I chucked that SeatGeek ad in there because I just needed to really steel myself up for the waiver wire line of the night to really think of how I was gonna frame this one, because the waiver wire line of the night goes to none other than my main man, Aaron Aflalo. He played 29 minutes, and let's be honest, he was batshit insane. This is not Aaron Aflalo. This is not normal for anybody. He went 14 of 17 for 38 points, including 7 of 8 from 3. He 82% of his field goal attempts. He was pretty stock standard Aaron Aflalo otherwise. 2 rebounds, 2 assists, and 1 block. But when you're hitting your threes and you're scoring at that bigger percentage, that's enough to swing an overall weekly head-to-head matchup percentage by 2 or 3% and perhaps win you that category, not to mention the 38 points and 7 threes from a guy who's useless. He's going to have a big game like this, but he's also going to have a string of games that are terrible. I'm not advocating picking up Aaron Aflalo in a 10-team league. I don't even think he should be owned in a 12-team league. Yes, he's got this ability. Not disability. He's got this ability, but he doesn't show it anywhere near enough. And again, if the shot doesn't fall, you're getting nothing else from him. And we saw that again today. So I think people will get excited about this. So if you've gone and grabbed him, try and trade him to someone. Hey, look at the minutes he's getting. Look how hot he can get. Because I just, you know what I think of Aaron Aflalo. And my thoughts on Aaron Aflalo is that he's not all that good. So bear that in mind when you go to look at him. But this sort of shooting performance is not real. It's not realistic for anybody, let alone a guy who's not a good shooter. And in that buoyed all his value. And if he shot 40% today, we're not even talking about him, really. So just great line, great performance for Aaron Aflalo. Completely unsustainable. It's not going to happen again. The young gun of the night goes to Jordan Clarkson of the Los Angeles Lakers. He played 34 minutes. He went 12, 5, and 7, added 3 steals, had a block, and went 5 of 11 from the field. So a nice all-round performance. The 7 assists from Clarkson is not something that you get all that often from him. He's only averaging 2.5 dimes per game this year. He has stepped it up a little bit of late, 3.6 over his last 8 games. He's scoring okay, 14.5 points in those 2 weeks. Pretty solid rebounder for a guard. Doesn't hit threes. The steals are nice, 1.4 steals. Bad field goal percentage, average free throws. He's been just average. He's got a rank just inside the top 100 for the season. He's ranked 114th for the last 2 weeks. He's not a must-own 10-team league guy. He probably is a 12-team league guy. But with Byron Scott chopping and changing and giving all the minutes to Lou Williams, I don't know if Clarkson's ever going to really approach those numbers we saw in the second half of last season. And that was something that I was preaching a lot at the start of the season. And he's sort of right where, you know, I expected him to be, around that back end 12-team league value. He's right there, but he's not. He doesn't really show signs of becoming that same guy. And that's because there's so many other players there. Lou Williams is there, Nick Young's there, Kobe Bryant's there, D'Angelo Russell's there. All those guys weren't playing last year. when he put up those big numbers. So, yeah, make sure he's owned in a 12-team league, but don't expect too much more. Another thing I'm going to say here is I apologize if I sound slurry or anything. I've got an infection in my gum and in my wisdom tooth, and it hurts like it kills. So I've got some anesthetic gel on it at the moment, so my mouth is feeling a little numb, so I could start slurring some words. So I know my accent makes it hard to understand a lot of what I'm saying anyway. Now you might have the slurring associated with it too. So I do apologize, and hopefully this infection goes away pretty soon, because it's definitely doing my head in. The dart of the night. Talked about Aaron Aflalo not being a good player. The dart of the night is a bloke who has confounded me all season. Will Barton. What happened to Will Barton? 25 minutes only, 5 points, 1-3, 2 rebounds, 2 assists. It's tantamount to the way he's played this year that he actually qualifies for a dud of the night, that he's been that good. This is the sort of line that before this season I would have said, that's pretty stock standard Will Barton. That's Will Barton, 5 points, 2 rebounds, 2 assists, that's him. But based on what we've seen this season, it's a shock. Like, what is going on with Will Barton? I still don't think he's as good as what we've seen this year. I don't think he's this bad, but there are going to be nights where he throws up some stinkers. Tonight was one. Don't get too discouraged. I'm pretty sure he'll bounce back and start putting up lines that make me scratch my head with utter confusion for the rest of the year. Still need to find myself a nice Will Barton jersey. I found a couple, but they're a little bit expensive for me. So that's my present to Will Barton. I'm going to buy one of his jerseys, and it's as my apology for saying he's no good. But he wasn't any good tonight. Not a good night from Will Barton. Probably ruined a few DFS lineups. It happens. He's not good enough that you expect great performances every single night. He's been doing it, and it's been a massive, massive shock to a lot of people, but I don't think you can expect it to happen over and over and over again. There's something that's not going to work at some point, and that's exactly what happened tonight. All right, let's, where are we? Oh yeah, let's talk about, well actually, you know what, I've got to get used to this new format now. Let's look at the optimal lineup from last night, the perfect lineup in terms of daily fantasy. Bring that up on the screen now. There we go. So the perfect lineup from Sunday would have totaled 381 points, which is about 40 less than yesterday's. Kyle Lowry at 44 points and Jameer Nelson at 33.3. Lowry going up against the Bulls' point guard defense was a decent guy to have a look at. And Jameer Nelson, once we knew that Emmanuel Mudiay was out, his price had risen slightly, but he was still a pretty good play. So I like both those guys. Jimmy Butler, obviously, at 55.3, he was superb. And Lou Williams put in his best performance of the season, going 46.4. That's massive if you put Lou Williams in. But he was going up against the deplorable Suns, so there was a chance that you could have had Williams in there thinking that their backcourt is terrible and their whole team is just disgusting. We're going to talk about the Suns a little bit later on. He wasn't a bad option. Carmelo Anthony at 34.3 and Danilo Gallinari at 43.5 were the two best small forward options for their salary or to fit into the salary cap. Melo was always looking like he'd be a pretty good option, and Gallinari's hit the floor running since coming back from his ankle injury, so you can understand both of those. In the power forwards, we had matchup guys going up against each other. Pau Gasol at 49.6 and Luis Scola at 37. Scola gave us no indication that he's going to be able to do this, but big men against the Bulls do put up good numbers. So that's something that we can use going forward, and something we've been able to know most of the year, that big men against the Bulls, good numbers. And at center, Robin Lopez, 37.7. He's been really putting up great numbers, and you got to look at it while he's in this sort of hot streak, that he's putting up numbers at a pretty good rate at the moment. So he's someone to definitely keep in mind. And I mentioned him slightly on yesterday's show as being not a bad option to look at for your daily fantasy lineup. So that's Sunday's perfect lineup based on FanDuel salaries and scoring. All right, let's look at these box scores now in that little bit of extra detail. See what we can glean from doing that. Bring that up on the screen for you guys watching along on video. And thank you to everyone who does watch on video and you guys who do watch live. I know the timing is not always ideal for everybody, but the guys who tune in live, I do appreciate it. And the guys who watch later on YouTube. Let's get into these games. The first one is the Bulls and the Raptors. Talked about Pau Gasol from his DFS value, but he was great. 19, 13, and 6 with 4 blocks. Not a great shooting night from Pau, but a decent all-round night. And the theory holds true for Nikola Mirotic. He got hot. He hit his first two shots, so he played 29 minutes. And I'm only partially taking the piss when I say that's a theory of what Fred Hoiberg is going to do, because it's literally what he's doing. If Mirotic has a good first 5 minutes, he plays big minutes. If he doesn't, he plays nothing. And it's super frustrating. Mirotic played 29 here, 17 points with 3 threes, 3 rebounds, an assist, and a steal, and hit all 6 of his free throws. He should be owned in basically all leagues because of this upside that he has, and it basically just requires minutes. That's the confusing part, though. Bobby Portis, everyone was on the Bobby Portis train. I said you got to go and add him, and this is the concern with Portis. Only 18 minutes here, 4 points and 6 rebounds. You still should own him based on his upside to see how it all plays out. But if he can't maintain 25 minutes with Joakim Noah out, how's he going to maintain 25 minutes when Joakim Noah comes back? So I would say in 2 weeks' time, holding on to Bobby Portis is not going to be a good idea. When Noah's back, I reckon he can be cut in most spots. But let's wait and see. For now, he's got a lot of value. He's got a lot of potential value. Maybe that's the best way of putting it. And you want to hold on to that. But if I'm going one way or the other, I'd say that in 2 weeks' time, he has no value. That'd be my guess. Let's wait and see. Own him because the potential's there. But if you can't get a 25-minute role consistently without Noah and he gets added to the mix, it doesn't look good. Now, he'll play more minutes in some of these other games, but the game was close and the Bulls went with their better players. They went with Taj Gibson. They went with Mirotic. They went with Pau Gasol. And I think that's the way it's going to roll a lot of this time. Taj Gibson, 29 minutes, 9-5 with 3 assists and 2 blocks. He's a real low-end player, but he has value until Noah returns. Not much else to really talk about here. Tony Snell still getting 19 minutes too many. 7 points with 2 rebounds in his 19 minutes. He's not worth it. And Dougie McDermott, a stinker. An 11 trillion line. Not what you want from him, no doubt. There was no Derrick Rose in this one, so Kirk Heinrich started. He played 21 minutes. Aaron Brooks played 25. Neither of those guys have any real use at the moment. Onto the Raptors, Luis Scola had 22 points. He was 9 of 17 shooting, so took a stack of shots, 2 threes, 5 rebounds, 2 steals and a block. That's a great fantasy line. And similar to Nikola Mirotic, when Scola gets hot, he'll play minutes. When Patrick Patterson gets hot, he'll play some more minutes. So the Raptors do sort of run that hot hand thing, which is fine with two guys who aren't good. The thing that pisses me off with Mirotic is we know that he's better than this, and he should play himself into form. That's my thought on it anyway. Jonas Valanciunas, 23 minutes, 8-9, a steal, 3 blocks. A lot of people really undervaluing Valanciunas at the moment coming back from injury, so you can get him for some pretty big, some pretty decent value, I think. Kyle Lowry, 22, 5-10, 3 threes, a steal, a block, a great performance. Not a great shooting night, 8 of 22, but still racked up the numbers. And DeMar DeRozan went 24, 2-4, and he hit 3 triples. Don't think you can expect that from DeMar DeRozan all that often. But it's a pretty nice bonus when it does happen. Now, we've seen in the last couple of games, Corey Joseph minutes have come back up, Terrence Ross's have come back down. 21 for Ross for 3 points, 2 steals, 2 blocks. Joseph at 28, 13, 2 and 4. I don't think any of them are really 12-team league guys. The guy who just can't get anything going is Damari Carroll, and he said that he's still dealing with pain and injuries, and it's obviously affecting him. 10 points, 2 threes and 3 rebounds. This might seem a little controversial. In a 10-team league, I don't reckon you need to own Damari Carroll at the moment. He could break out, but I think that the situation that he's in, and with guys like Ross and with Joseph there, that he might struggle to become a top 100 player this year. I reckon you could probably move on and stream that spot or grab someone who you think might be the next hot guy and go from there. I don't think that he's a must-hold in a 10. In a 12-team league, I probably would. But since coming back from injury, he's barely getting to 30 minutes. He didn't even get to 25 in this one. And it is a bit of a concern for his value. Bismack Biyombo went down to 16 minutes here with Patterson, Scola, and Valanciunas all playing more than him. 4 points, 5 rebounds for Biyombo. No blocks. His 12-team league value is kaput. The Atlanta Hawks and the New York Knicks, Paul Millsap at it again. 19, 9-6. 5 steals for Millsap, and that's his tremendous value in that category. A great night from him. And Kent Bazemore was also pretty good. 18, 3-3, a steal, a block, and 4 triples too. He played 27 minutes. The Hawks got smashed by the Knicks, which is an odd thing to say. Kyle Korver got things going again, though. 13 points, 2 threes, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, and a steal. Has not been that guy for a big stretch of time. He's a borderline own guy to me. What's going on with Dennis Schröder? Don't know. I can't explain it. He must have done something to really piss off Mike Budenholzer. That's two games in a row where he hasn't played as a coach's decision. I don't think it's a trade necessarily. I think he's just pissed them off. 12-team leagues, forget about it. 14-team leagues, maybe you hold, but let's see how it goes. They're running with Shelvin Mack, who played 27 minutes here, Shelvin Mack. 10 points, 5 assists, and a steal. And if you knew that he was going to get 20-plus minutes, he's a decent fantasy producer. So just watch that. Watch this space. Eddie Tavares, it seems like he's replaced Mike Muscala in the rotation. That's two or three games in a row where he's got minutes ahead of Muscala. And he's got intrigue. 4 points, 4 rebounds, 3 blocks in 15 minutes. That's not going to really do anything for anybody. But deeper league guys and keeper league guys, he profiles as a fairly significantly worse Rudy Gobert. But the rebound numbers can be there. The block numbers can be there as well. And even if you're in a deep league, say it's a 20-team league, adding him and getting 3 blocks like that, it's fantastic. It can turn things. It can turn a matchup. I'm not saying to add Eddie Tavares, but let's just watch how it's trending. He is definitely moving up in the rotation. Al Horford, not his greatest night, 13-3-2 with a steal. With a 3 and a block. On the Knicks, we know Aaron Aflalo was out of control. Carmelo went 11-9-5 and added 3 steals, so a solid night from Carmelo Anthony. Robin Lopez, 16-11-5 with 3 blocks in just 24 minutes. He has really been turning it on of late. Did not start the season well at all. Some of that was him, some of that was Derek Fisher, but over the last 2 weeks, he's a 53rd ranked player. 9.7 points, 6.7 rebounds, but it's the 2.6 blocks and the 62 and 86% that's really helping with him. So if you're really looking to solidify some percentages and get some blocks, Robin Lopez is pushing up. I would much rather have Robin Lopez and say Roy Hibbert at the moment. He's producing at a much higher rate. The minutes are trending up, and that was one of the things that was holding him back. This could change at any moment. But have a look. Just see what you can get from. See if you can make that move to add Robin Lopez and do it while he's hot. Jose Calderon only played 21 minutes here, but still relatively productive. 9-3-2, 2 steals, a block, and a 3. So not bad numbers there. But Jerian Grant had probably his best game of the year. He played 24 minutes, 8-3-7, had 2 steals and a block. It's worth monitoring. It's not worth doing anything about for standard leagues. Interestingly, he played more than Calderon and he played more than Langston Galloway. I think that's the way it should be. What I think should doesn't mean is what's going to happen, though. So let's monitor that situation. Kristaps
Porzingis
played 33 minutes. So good to see his minutes back up there. 14-7, 2 threes and a block. Not his greatest night, but still productive enough for us to love what he offers. And there's really not much else to talk about on the Knicks. The Miami Heat and the Washington Wizards, another big night from Bosch. 23-7. 2 threes, a steal and a block. And Goran Dragic is starting to crank it up now. 18-2-5, 2 threes and a steal. Dwayne Wade re-entered the starting lineup, played 25 minutes only, 8-4-3 with a steal. And one of the good listeners of the podcast, one of the great listeners and one of my mates from a long way back, Simon Smith, is over in the States at the moment. He went to watch the Heat the other day, and he had an interesting observation, which I think is pretty straightforward, but he saw it in person, that Dragic really takes over when Wade's not on the court. When they play together, Dragic takes a back seat. And so you see a game where Wade plays 25 minutes and Dragic plays that extra, gets that extra boost and puts up a big line. So if something was to happen to Wade, and we know that he's not the most durable guy, Dragic's value should go up significantly. Just something to keep an eye on. Hassan Whiteside, 30 minutes, 6 points, but 13 rebounds, a steal, and 6 blocks. Getting it done in the categories that matter for him. Gerald Green played 28 minutes, which seems high to me. Don't know why he's playing. I suppose because Wade was a bit limited. Maybe he's still recovering from his flu. 15 points for Green with 2 threes, 2 assists, a steal, and 4 rebounds. So a nice line from him, but he hasn't been doing that too often. Tyler Johnson, 23 minutes, 10-7-2, a steal, a block, and a couple of threes. So a good line from him, but both of these guys are more 14-team league guys. Justice Winslow did return. He only played 18 minutes, and again, he just does... He does the least with the most. 0 points, 3 rebounds, 2 steals and a block is not too bad, but he has basically zero fantasy appeal, I think it's fair to say. On the Wizards, Marcin Gortat sprained his ankle, but he was able to play through it. 12-13 with a steal. not his greatest night, but not too bad. John Wall got shut down by the Heat, 14, 4, and 5 on 6 of 21 shooting, and that was always a risk with John Wall. I did like him yesterday. I didn't think that the Heat defense would have that much of an impact on him, but it did. Look for him to bounce back. Ramon Sessions just keeps getting it done. 28 minutes for Sessions, 13, 3, and 5. Just consistently gives you this nice DFS value, and that's value in with those 5 assists. That's good 12-team league value. Now, I'm not advocating he's an ad, but he definitely has streaming ability while Gary Neal and Bradley Beal are out. Kelly Oubre was solid, 6 and 8 for him, and Otto Porter went 6 and 6. Both Oubre and Porter had a steal, so Oubre's definitely played himself into a rotational role. Somewhat inexplicably, Garrett Temple plays 41 minutes again, 11 points, 3 rebounds, 3 assists, a steal, a block, and 2 threes. Nice production, but still just not good shooting. 4 of 16, you can leave him alone in most leagues. The Portland Trailblazers and the Denver Nuggets. CJ McCollum, 33 minutes with no Damian Lillard, 25, 3 and 7 with a couple of threes. Really efficient as well, 10 of 17, but not his greatest night. Still really, really good, obviously. Al-Farouq Aminu, he can't get the minutes. Much like Damari Keller, put those guys sort of together. They just can't get enough production happening. 22 minutes for Aminu, 14, 3 and 1 with 3 threes. So not a bad night, but just not what we would have hoped for him. Not a must-own 10-team league guy. And Alan Crabb started again with Damian Lillard out, went 14, 3, and 2. But key to him was adding 2 steals and 2 threes. He's only a deep league guy, even with Lillard out. Noah Vonleh played 26 minutes and went 5 and 8. He's just not very good. Myers Leonard, 7 and 4 in 22 minutes. Mason Plumlee played just 22 and went 6 points with a block. Not too concerned about Plumlee. I know a lot of people want to drop him. He battled fouls, and he was battling an illness as well. So that's some of those things that are to blame. I think that Plumlee still should be owned in most sort of places. A little bit worried about Lillard, though, coming back from this injury. It seems to be dragging a little bit, and this is something to remember. Every preseason, people talk about injuries and injury-prone players. Lillard's an iron man. He never misses games. Never misses a game. He's missed about 8 now in a row. We used to say the same thing about Russell Westbrook, and then the narrative turns, Westbrook can't even stay healthy, he's always hurt. These things are quite fluid. So just remember that for when the next player comes out that's played 3 seasons in a row without missing a game, DeAndre Jordan will probably be the next one that we really talk about, that guys can get hurt, and that happens, and then the narrative changes. So just think about that with Lillard, because this could stretch on a little bit. It might not. He might be back in the next game, but it's just worth keeping an eye on. Danilo Gallinari was great for the Nuggets, 29, 5, and 3, 2 threes, a steal, and a block. Hasn't missed a step since coming back. And Jameer Nelson, 17, 4, and 7 with a steal. Looks like Moutier is going to be out for at least another week, so obviously Nelson has to be owned everywhere. Yusuf Nurkic looks really good. 15 minutes for him, 12 and 8 with a block. His per 36 numbers are always fantastic, and they were last year. We just want him to get 30 minutes. It's not going to happen for a while here, but his upside is tremendous, as is Nikola Jokic. 9 and 10 in 22 minutes for him. 2 steals and a block. I reckon both of those guys can be owned in 12-team leagues. Joffrey Lavernier, not so much. 6 minutes for him, 1 assist. Jokic and Nurkic are the two guys that you want there. They're going to have some stinkers, no doubt, and they're going to have some games where they're limited, but for now, both of them have really good potential. Kenneth Faried played amazingly after yesterday. He started, he played 27 minutes like nothing happened. So that's big props to Kenneth Faried. I don't say a lot of positive things about Kenneth Faried, but that's fantastic for him to recover from that injury and play the next night. Superb. 13 and 9 for Faried with a block in 27 minutes, and you don't really care. You're just happy that as a person, you're just happy that he was fine from that injury, and it doesn't cost him his season. He's out there playing the next day. So fantastic effort from Kenneth Faried. So any preemptive pickups of Darrell Arthur, I made one of them. Go and drop him now. I don't think we need to worry about him. Gary Harris, 27 minutes, 7 points with a couple of threes. Not his greatest performance. The last game of the night. Whew. Where do I start? The Phoenix Suns. I don't even know what to say with this team anymore. They picked it up in the second half. They scored under 40 points in the first half. They run baffling rotations. They run baffling play calls. Their rotation literally changes every single game. TJ Warren moved back to the bench. He went scoreless in 21 minutes. Devin Booker played 22 after going huge minutes in all the games before that. Ronnie Price got an inexplicable 27 minutes. PJ Tucker got 32, had 5 points and 8 rebounds. Brandon Knight is the only consistent thing on this team. 25, 3 and 9 in his 44 minutes. Tyson Chandler played 20. And guess what? Alex Len played 27 after being written out of the rotation basically yesterday. So in a game where Chandler doesn't play and he's ejected, Len doesn't play at all. But when Chandler's fine, let's play Len more minutes and let's play the two together. You know I'm a massive fan of Alex Len. 6-9 here, a steal and 3 blocks, and he's got potential through the roof. The problem is this coach has zero potential. No idea what he's doing. Jeff Hornacek has lost the team. He's lost his mind. And you can't predict anything. Brandon Knight is the consistency thing here. PJ Tucker is probably the next one. And then these other guys. I thought TJ Warren and Devin Booker were going to be locks for 30 minutes. Nah, let's run Ronnie Price 27 minutes. Because that's what the world wants to see. Revenge game Ronnie Price. I don't know what to say. If you picked up Tucker, if you picked up Warren, if you picked up Booker, just run with it. John Lua started. Back to the starting lineup for Lua. 15 minutes. 4-2. Don't really think he's got much 12-team value at the moment. The Suns owner called out Markieff Morris. And he's a massive dick in himself, Robert Sarver. He called him out. I think that you know, the problems are stemming from him. He's a millennial. He can't cope with any sort of setbacks. They might as well fold this team. That's how bad they're going. They are, and I say that facetiously, but they are a mess. There is nothing you can bank on. You're going to be adding and dropping and adding and dropping these guys. Again, just hold, hold Warren, hold Tucker, hold Booker. I wouldn't go rushing to pick up Len after this. I'm not rushing to pick up Ronnie Price, Chandler. Who knows? Mirza Teletovic went 16-8 with 3 threes, but he's as hot and cold as the rest of them. Justin, a nightmare. The Lakers have won 3 in a row. Lou Williams went 37-4, 6 threes and 2 steals. I talked about him yesterday, how he'd been putting up value where you had to look at owning him, but the rankings weren't good. They're going to boost up significantly after this. I still think he should be owned in most places. And big bad Larry Nance played 32 minutes, went 15-14 with a steal. I told you it'd been trending up. I'm not sure that it's a 12-team league pickup, but he's playing really well. Julius Randle played just 16 minutes, which is baffling in itself. In a 14-team league, absolutely I'm owning Nance, and I don't mind grabbing him in a 12-team league and seeing how this plays out, but he's surprised pretty much everyone with the way he's played, and he's looking very, very good. Roy Hibbert had his best game, but this is against the Suns as well, so remember that. 13-6 for Hibbert with 3 blocks on some pretty nice percentages there. And Anthony Brown started again in place of Kobe. 30 minutes for him, 5-3-2, but did have a triple one. I reckon he's got sneaky fantasy potential in the coming year, so I do like him as a dynasty target. Julius Randle, 2 points, had 12 rebounds, and D'Angelo Russell went 7-3-4 in 22 minutes. And there was a whisper going around before the game that Russell was going to re-enter the starting lineup for Jordan Clarkson. That didn't happen, and then Russell played just 22 minutes. You have to hold, as frustrating as it is to own him at the moment. All right, we are done with the review part of the show. Before we get into the daily fantasy section, what I said that I was going to do, and I tweeted this out today, and I'll try and do this once a week, a section of the show called Trade Talk. I want to get myself a little fancy jingle and that sort of stuff to do it. What I would ask is everyone to send through your proposed trades, your executed trades, and I'd spend a little bit of time talking about it. So that's what I'm going to do now. Get my face off the screen. And what I'm also going to show you is what Basketball Monster has to offer with trade analysis. So I'm going to bring that up on the screen, and you can see the Basketball Monster trade analysis screen. So this was the trade, and I need to find out who gave me this trade. Where are we? Vetzal Bell on Twitter at Vetzal Bell. Now his trade was, he was giving Dwayne Wade and Drew Holiday for Nick Vucevic and Kristaps Porzingis. Off the top of your head, you go, of course, that's something you want to do. The best player there is Vucevic, and Porzingis has been fantastic. Now, these numbers that are down on the screen here, they are for 9 category value. And you can see I've got the little mouse hovering there. Drew Holiday is ranked, that says 8 category value, my mistake. Drew Holiday is 58th. Dwayne Wade is 62nd. Nick Vucevic, 36th. Porzingis, 43rd. And you can see that on Basketball Monster here, we've got the punt value thing, because I set it up with lots of different categories. And the punt category is all eight of the standard categories. So Holiday is a 0.06, Wade's a 0.05, the total value 0.11. Getting the players back, you get 0.55. So you gain 0.34 of standard value. That's not the be-all and end-all of everything. I like to come across here to this section here and have a look at what you're gaining. So based on our projections for these guys, what they're going to average for the rest of the season, you're going to lose a little bit of scoring by taking Vucevic and Porzingis back. About 1.4 points per game difference. You're going to lose some three-pointers. But what you're going to gain heavily is rebounds. 5.4 extra rebounds. You'll lose 3.2 assists a game, 0.3 steals, and you'll add a huge amount of blocks, 1.1 blocks. What you'll also add is almost 2% of field goal percentage, and you'll add over 2% of free throw percentage based on the projections and, you know, based on the numbers that have happened this season. But you know, you can look at this, and this is why I always say that nothing happens in a vacuum in fantasy basketball, because you look at that and go, that's a no-brainer. We'll take Vucevic and Porzingis, and I'll give away Holiday and Wade. But if you're punting field goal percentage and blocks, and I'll go and do that now, you can see on the screen, I'll go to blocks and I'll turn punt on, I'll turn field goal percentage on, and we'll rerun it again and see how it changes the value. I don't know if this is great for the show. It's probably better if you're watching it, but oh, that didn't work. I left it on for too long. Preparing. Anyway, the point I'm trying to get at is if you're punting blocks and punting field goal percentage, that's a lot of the value of this trade. Do you need the assists? Can you afford to lose 3.2 assists per game on average? Can you afford that? Can you afford to lose those steals? Can you afford to lose that scoring? Can you afford to lose those three-pointers? And this is why I love category basketball versus points basketball, because a trade like this, if this was a points league and these were just values here, you go, no way, Vucevic and Porzingis are the two best players, Holiday and Wade, they're the two worst, what a shit trade, veto, whatever. But in this, there's very strategic elements to doing it. You could look at this and go, well, okay, I'm punting assists. I don't need Holiday and Wade, I'm punting assists. I don't need their numbers. I want to get my rebounds up. I want my blocks. I want my field goal percentage. And then it's a definite win. And the same goes for head-to-head or rotisserie leagues. Where are you sitting in the standings of these things? And on Basketball Monster, we've got these buttons here, you know, trade and projected standings. Click that. How does it change where you sit in the projected standings? How does it change your overall team analysis and strengths? We can check all that sort of stuff. Overall, though, I would say the Vucevic and Porzingis side is better, but that's obviously with that caveat, it depends on your team. So let me know what you think of this segment. I'll try to do it a little bit better next time. Do it once a week as we go through and just talk about one of the listeners' trades and give some thoughts on it. The other thing you've got is before I go on, that I just remembered, Holiday and Wade, injury prone. Yeah, Holiday is just coming off his minutes restriction. Wade, we know, is going to miss time. So moving those guys on, does that help you in terms of should get more minutes from Porzingis? I should get more games from him. I should get more games from Vucevic. All that stuff is worth looking at. And even if you look in this column here, we've got projected games for these guys. 76 for Holiday and Wade. 83 for Vucevic and Porzingis. 7 extra games projected. And that can obviously change with one slip, one anything. But based on historical data and the way we've projected it, that's what can happen. So there's quite a few factors to take into account. And if you like this sort of stuff, go and join Basketball Monster. You can do this plus so much more stuff for your seasonal stuff and for DFS. There's a lot of tools on the site, and this is just one of them. And I thought it'd be a good way of highlighting some of the tools we've got on the site to really show you how you can work it, plus hopefully giving you some advice on a trade. Let me know what you thought of that segment, what I can do to improve it. It's something I literally came up with about 3 hours before we're going, or 4 hours before we're going to air here. I thought, you know, this might be a good segment. So, yeah, as Tony Martin once said, if anyone knows who Tony Martin is, it's like Wallace and Gromit laying down the tracks just as the train's arriving. That's exactly what I was doing here. Anyway, enough of me babbling. I really need to drink because my mouth is quite dry from this anesthetic. Time for a break in the show. Listen to a song, and I'll be back in a sec.
drums. I'll sing of love and you from afar. Well, here they come in now. Me and the sky are on a roll. As we hit the halftime break, the chorus lets you know. You can't see what I see.
Back. That was the band Joe Hero, based in Charlotte. I think I should probably check that. I'm pretty sure they're based in Charlotte. So thank you to Joe Hero for allowing us to use their song, Formula Rock Song Number One, during the program. All right, let's talk DFS. There are 10 games on Monday. There's 10 games on, but for some of the positions, shooting guard especially, there is no value pretty much. It is barren. The first game, the Raptors and the Cavs, not much really to talk about injury-wise unless you consider the injury to Joe Harris's right foot to be really significant, which I hope that you don't. Tristan Thompson at 4,600. He's definitely not sexy, but he's consistent. And at 4,600, he gave you 24.4 in the last game. He's got a 21-point average over his last three games. And at 4,600, that's almost 5x. And if he gives you 25 points, that is 5x. The Raptors are not a powerful team up front. He's going to be the starting center most likely, although David Blatt did say some comments today where that's not locked in. So that could change. Not that I think they'd be wanting to rush back to Mozgov anytime soon, because he has been a level below pitiful so far. So Thompson, a nice, relatively safe, low value, low upside sort of guy. Corey Joseph at 3,800 is trending back in the right direction. That's a low salary. That's not a bad tournament punt play. For the rest of this game, I don't love much of it at all. Kevin Love at 7,300 hasn't been really approaching that sort of value at any time in recent memory. LeBron James at 9,800. Yeah, I can use LeBron James in this one, but the Raptors are a pretty good defensive team. Now, in terms of LeBron, does that really impact him? Maybe, but I reckon there are better small forward options on the board. He is averaging still 40.7 points across the last three games, but he wants to do a little bit more. Kyle Lowry at 8,700. Yeah, I can use Kyle Lowry here. I think that he put up a big one against the Bulls. The Cavs are not a great defensive point guard team, especially with Kyrie Irving's minutes on the rise. I think that Lowry can put up a big game here, and he is a bit of a big game player. Jonas Valanciunas at 5,600. We have to start thinking about Valanciunas now. That's 25 average across his last three. The minutes are coming up. The production is starting to come up. Not sure I'm all that confident using him here, but it is starting to come into that territory. Luis Scola at 4,600. Do you think he can do it two in a row? I don't. And I'm not. Look, Patrick Patterson may be in a punt situation in a tournament, but I'm not all that keen on using him. DeMar DeRozan's salary rose again, I think, to 8,400. I think he was 83 yesterday. He might have been 84. Just not doing quite enough at the moment, though. A five-game average of 38, and he needs to be more. He needs to be 43. And against the Cavs, that's not one I want to look at, nor do I want to play Damari Carroll. J.R. Smith's not getting it done at the moment. Timofey Mozgov, the less said, the better. And Kyrie Irving is priced at 7,400. We definitely don't want to be spending 7,400 on Kyrie Irving at this point in his comeback. The next game, the Minnesota Timberwolves and the Philadelphia 76ers. You've got to hope that the Sixers at least keep it close in this one. They're not playing a great team, but if they do, that there could be some great fantasy value in this one. Let's hope that they keep it close. Ish Smith has let a few people down lately. At 5,700, I do like using him here. Opposition point guards do yield some points against the Timberwolves. I think that his ownership might be a bit low with that salary at 57 and a couple of disappointing games in the bank for him. I reckon we're okay using him. Karl Anthony Towns at 7,800. The matchup, it really favors him here, going up against Jahlil Okafor. He got smashed by Okafor in the last time these two teams met, though, so I reckon he's going to come out with a chip on his shoulder and a point to prove. I just hope he doesn't go out and obliterate them too much early, because then we might get limited minutes, and that's going to limit his upside, especially when you're spending 7,800 on him. At 7,800, he's got to be pushing 37, 38 points, which is his average. The last three, he's averaging almost 37. So I reckon he's not a bad guy to look at center. Zach LaVine at 4,500, that might seem stupid, and it probably is. He's averaging 7.8 across the last three games, but there is such little value on the shooting guard slate. A guy that you think will get 25 minutes and is playing the Sixers and should have a pretty high usage. I think LaVine is not a cash game play. I reckon in a tournament play, though, this could be a big game for LaVine. This could be one where he takes over and puts up 25 or 26 points. I reckon he is worth a look. Andrew Wiggins at 6,700. He's definitely playing better. The matchup is going to suit him. At 6,700, I'd rather a couple hundred bucks less, but I reckon you can go ahead and use him. He's been consistently around that 31, 32 point mark, but you need him to be consistently, you know, higher than that. You want him to be closer to, you know, 35, around that sort of range, which he's not quite there yet, but just a couple of points off, and, you know, this bump of the Sixers might make it worthwhile getting him out there. 4,300 for Jeremy Grant. He's too streaky for that. He's got to be a tournament only option. Ricky Rubio at 7,700. Been putting up some big numbers lately, averaging 37 across his last five with a minimum score of 27. So that's pretty handy. His upside is capped by his scoring ability, but the rebounds, assists, the steals are always there. 7,700 though, probably feels a little bit high. Nerlens Noel at 6,300. Didn't quite get it done in the last game. Not a really great matchup for him, but he is playing without Jahlil Okafor, and that is helping him. So 6,300, what sort of score does he need to do? At 6,300, if he gives you 31 points, I think you're pretty happy. And I reckon he could be, he's in play, definitely. He's in my pool of players that I'd be considering. Not a must-own guy, though. Jahlil Okafor is now priced less than Nerlens Noel. He's at 6,200, but I'm not all that keen on getting him out there. I think the Towns will really give it to him here. Look, I could be completely wrong, like the last game that they played, but I'm not. Okafor's just not getting the minutes at the moment. Shabazz Muhammad is starting to get some minutes. 3,700 for him. He does have upside, definitely, so maybe throw him in a tournament. And Nick Stauskas got hot in the last game, but I do not trust that to really happen again. The next game we look at is the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics. There's a lot of value in this one, and it's mainly due to injury. Obviously, Jarrett Jack, if you haven't heard the news, is out for the season with an ACL tear. I mentioned this yesterday. Shane Larkin, I would be looking to add everywhere. I already did add him everywhere that I could in my leagues. Avery Bradley has been ruled out for the Celtics with a hip bruise. Doesn't appear to be too long of an injury, so that's good for him. Jared Sullinger is dealing with a whole bunch of niggling injuries and soreness. Doesn't look like he's going to miss the game, but it's contributing to his poor form. And RJ Hunter, still with a shoulder, it's caused him to miss the last two or three games. And he could have seen some extra run with Bradley out. Okay, this game, the Nets. Thad Young, 6,700. Love it against the Celtics. They give up big numbers to power forwards normally. He put up 31 in the last game, 34.5 average across his last five. I think that Thad Young's a great play here. And Shane Larkin at 4,500. He's looking to get big minutes. The thing is, the problem is he's against Boston, but his salary is so low compared to his expected production that even with Isaiah Thomas on him, I still think that he is worth a go at 4,500. Because at 4,500, if he gives you 23 points, you're at 5x value. And what does he need to do? Get, you know, 10 and 7 with two or three steals? He's got that capability. So he's someone that I do like as a cheap option, but it's not a great matchup for him, but his salary, thankfully enough, is low enough. Bojan Bogdanovic at 4,100. I do like that. That salary is low. He'll pick up some usage with Jack out. He's at 22.5 points in the last three on average. I think he'll see an uptick in his usage as well. Joe Johnson at 5,000. I thought about Joe Johnson, but even in his best game, which was the last one, he only put up 21 fantasy points. And at 5,000, I'd rather spend 900 less and put Bojan Bogdanovic in. I like Isaiah Thomas here a lot at 8,100 with no Jack. Larkin's a decent defender, but the Nets in general do allow a lot of points to point guards. He's been really good, 36-point average across the last three. At 8,100, you want him to get to 40, and I reckon he's a big chance to get to 40 here. Don't want to touch the Boston big men, Olynyk, Johnson, Sullinger, Jerebko, Lee. Leave those guys alone. I do like Jay Crowder, though. He's been getting effusive praise from Brad Stevens. He's priced at under 6,000, 4,900, basically giving you 30 points a night across the last five. Really consistent, an easy matchup. Love him here. 4,900 for Marcus Smart. That's one that I'd throw in a tournament and think he's got a massive chance to go big here with no Avery Bradley. Showed some signs in the last game. It's an easier matchup for him. He can be a guy who goes out and hits, you know, three threes and gets three steals and goes five rebounds, five assists, and 15 points. And that'll easily surpass you 25 fantasy points. I like him here as a not a cash game play, but as a tournament option. The Orlando Magic and the Detroit Pistons are up next. I don't know what to say about the Orlando Magic here. Evan Fournier dealing with, not Evan Fournier, try again. Lord Alfred Payton dealing with ankle issues and his illness and his coach. Haskell came out and said, oh, maybe we need to change the rotation, the starting lineup again. Maybe you do. So maybe we see some Victor Oladipo coming back in. 5,500 for Oladipo. Not a bad bet, to be honest. Look, terrible in the last game, but if Payton's going to miss and if they're going to put him back into the starting lineup and give him 30 minutes, I don't imagine his ownership will be that high. So I could see using Oladipo as a decent option. 7,300 for Reggie Jackson. It's a good matchup going against the Magic. So that's something that works in his favor. I don't like that he's played less than 30 the last two games. That makes me a little bit weary, but it's not a terrible situation. Like Andre Drummond here against the Magic, centers can put up big numbers against Vucevic. 9,300 for him. I reckon he'll be spurred on by Van Gundy's comments that he needs to develop some more consistency. I reckon a 50-point outing is definitely in Andre Drummond's future for this game. Aaron Gordon at 3,800. The minutes have been there. The production sort of been there. 21 average over his last three. Consistently at that 25 minutes, 21 fantasy points. At 3,800, that could fill out a lineup. Definitely. Nick Vucevic. Oh, Jesus. He killed you in the last game. 7,700 for him. He was trending down anyway. I reckon we'll leave him alone going up against Andre Drummond. 5,300 for Ersan Ilyasova. I'd love it if it was under 5,000. Not so keen here. But 5,800 for Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Yeah, I can sort of get behind that. He's a 28-point average across the last three. Had a bit of a cold streak, but we know with KCPs, when he gets hot, it happens for four or five games in a row. And he's in the midst of that at the moment. 30 points is not out of the question for KCP. Evan Fournier, 5,300. Nah. Lord Alfred Payton, 5,700. Jesus, no chance. Injuries, Skiles, bad form. Not a chance in hell that I would use Lord Alfred Payton. Next minute, 55 fantasy points for him. The Indiana Pacers and the Miami Heat. The Heat are favored by 2.5. The total is a very low 192. This game has fantasy stay away written all over it, except for Hassan Whiteside. 7,500. The minutes have been there. The production's been there. He's basically 37 points on most nights. That's what he's averaging across the last three. He put it up in the last game. Now, at 7,500, that's value. I like using him. Paul George, you can have a look at. Look, he looks to be back in form, but against the Heat, I'm not sure I'm all that keen in getting him out there, especially if I'm spending 8,800. So I'll let Paul George go to another team. Chris Bosh at 7,500. He's been playing really well, but 7,500 is a pretty high salary. You need to get 37 or so points out of him, and I'm not sure if you can do that against the Pacers. George Hill, not against the Heat, no thanks. Goran Dragic, the same thing, not against the Pacers. As well as he's been playing, he's still priced at 5,900, and that is still too expensive for me going up against the Pacers. 5,900 is also the price of Monte Ellis, and he's not really doing enough to entice me. This game is basically a stay away apart from Hassan Whiteside. Huge game on tomorrow or today, whichever day you're listening to this, the Sacramento Kings and the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I say huge because I think there's a chance for this game to go massive in terms of its scoring. The Thunder are favored by 11. The total is 218.5. I wouldn't be shocked if this one pushed 250 over under. And that could be great for fantasy. Russ Westbrook is dropped down from 11,000 to 10,700 after his quiet outing against Charlotte, but the Kings, the defense is not good. There's a good chance for him to have a big game here. Same with Kevin Durant, who's under 10,000. He dropped 50 on the Hornets. He's another big chance to drop 50 here, and that salary is very appealing. Serge Ibaka at 6,200. Nah, to me, look, the matchup suits him, but he just hasn't been getting it done, or anywhere close to getting it done. For as good as this matchup is, I reckon I'll probably leave him alone. Enes Kanter, no thanks. Very, very up and down at 5,100. I'd rather go with 4,000 for Stephen Adams, who is averaging almost 21 points across the last three. And at 4,000, that's pretty much enough. So I'm okay with using him. Rajon Rondo at 7,800. It just feels too expensive. Yes, he put up 43.7 in the last game. And yes, going up against Russell Westbrook does allow opposition point guards to put up some good numbers. But for 8,000, are you... or 7,800, are you really thinking that Rajon Rondo is going to get 40 points? I can understand why you would, but not for me. 5,400 for Darren Collison, though, that's doable. 30 points he's averaging across his last five. 31.7 across the last three. At 5,400, if he gives you 30 points in that easier matchup, then he could get some extra run too. Love it. DeMarcus Cousins at 9,700. Yeah, look, really good in the last game, definitely. Prior to that, not so great, but he's still averaging 39 across his last five. You want him to be a little bit better than that, and the matchup doesn't really suit him. Whereas Rudy Gay at 7,000, yeah, not against Kevin Durant. I don't think I want to get him out there. Omri Caspi, the minutes trended down in the last game. The matchup is not ideal. He's still at 5,700, so there is some value there. I reckon we can probably find a better small forward on the board, though. Willie Cauley-Stein, no, coming back from his second game back from that finger issue, and there's not much else to have a look at. Apart from Cameron Payne at 3,600, maybe you take a punt on him, but it'd have to be a pretty weird-looking lineup to have Cameron Payne in it, I think. The Milwaukee Bucks and the San Antonio Spurs, this does not bode well for the Bucks. The Spurs are favored by 9, the total is 192. Giannis Antetokounmpo is questionable after suffering that chipped tooth. OJ Mayo could get suspended, we haven't heard yet. And Tony Parker is out with a hip issue. So what happens to the Spurs with Parker out? Well, Ray McCallum is probably the guy that will move into the starting lineup, as dumb as that sounds. Patty Mills will get some extra run, but don't expect Patty Mills to go out there and play 32 minutes. He's not a bad option at 3,800 mils, but I don't think that he's a fantastic super must-play sort of guy, because I reckon McCollum will get 24 minutes. I think that's what McCollum got in the game that he started early this season. He played 24 minutes. So that's the way that I think the Spurs will run it. Now, McCollum's at 3,500. Mills is at 3,800. You could throw them both into a tournament, but I don't love it in a cash game situation at all. Kawhi Leonard at 8,600. Now, this game's got blowout written all over it, so I don't really think I want to get anyone involved here. Leonard, LaMarcus Aldridge, who's been playing better lately, but still priced at 7,100. No thanks. Michael Carter-Williams at 6,700. Now, he has a little bit of intrigue to me. He's able to put up numbers even when his shot doesn't fall. 31 in the last game with only about 5 points. A 38.7 average across his last three, but it's 6,700. That salary's, it's high. It's really hard to stomach, I think. Greg Monroe at 7,400, not against the Spurs. Danny Green, 3,900, so he's risen 400 up from minimum salary. He got red hot last game. Can he do it again? Maybe. You throw him into a tournament because you know that he can get red hot. And Boris Diaw was massive in their last game as well. Now, he could get some extra run if the game is a blowout, so maybe you take a look at him. He's been putting up some okay numbers, but really, that was a bit of a stab in the dark in the last game. Don't like Giannis here with Kawhi Leonard going to be on him. Same goes with Chris Middleton, with Leonard and Danny Green playing on both of these guys. Does not bode well, despite their relatively nice production of late. Jonathan Simmons will get a bump in his minutes with Parker out also, but don't really think we need to look at him too much for DFS. The last three games of the night do not have any spreads released as yet. The first one of those is the Houston Rockets and the Utah Jazz. Derek Favors is still questionable with that back issue. He's been working out in shoot around and then comes to the game. Nah, can't go. We've got to keep an eye on that. Rodney Hood had a kid yesterday, so congratulations to Rod. Named the kid Rod Hood Jr. as well. So big ups to big Rod Hood Jr. He'll likely play. Terrence Jones, shockingly enough, is dealing with another injury, a wrist which he was icing at the end of the game. He will play most likely, but Donatas Motiejunas is out again. Marcus Thornton is also out because he had a kid. Wasn't with Rodney Hood, his own separate kid. Don't know what he called his kid, but he's not going to play, whereas Hood likely will. If Favors is out, Trevor Booker at 4,400 against the Rockets, who are a piss weak at power forward in terms of allowing points against them. He's worth a look. He put up 23.7 in the last game. He's you know, about a 20-point guy. Probably not a cash game option, but in a tournament, he can go out there and grab 15 rebounds or have 17 points. And at 4,400, that might be worth looking at. I like Clint Capela at 5,100 as well. He's been a 25-point guy across the last three, and at 5,100, that's right where it needs to be. Does it in a number of different areas. And with Monty Unis out, it's going to be him and Jones, and he's the superior player to Jones at the moment. Gordon Hayward at 7,500 just hasn't been able to get it done of late, but the Rockets bump might push him to value. He's right on it. I think you'd consider using him if Favors was out. And 5,300 for Rod Hood, the Rockets bump again he gets. He's been great of late. I reckon you are not foolish, but you have to seriously consider using Hood in majority of your lineups. Pat Beverly, Ty Lawson, Jason Terry. We don't know which way that matchup's going to go, although JB Bickerstaff did come out today and said the team really needs to play Terry, so that's not a ringing endorsement of Beverly or of Lawson, so I wouldn't be looking at those guys. Trevor Ariza can't get it done at the moment, 5,100, and not a good matchup either. Jim Harden at 10,000. At 10,000, you want him to approach 50 points. He's averaging 37 across the last three. He's due a breakout, but I'm not sure it comes against Utah, who do slow the pace down quite a bit. And Dwight Howard at 8,000, that's too expensive now. Jeff Withey is always in play if Favors is out. 4,500 for him, almost a 30-point average across his last three games. At 4,500, if there's no Favors, I reckon you almost have to play Jeff Withey. The second last game of the night, the Memphis Grizzlies and the Portland Trailblazers. Damian Lillard is obviously the big one we need to look at there. Mike Conley is dealing with some back tightness, so if he misses, Mario Chalmers definitely comes into play. At 4,200, I'd be all over Chalmers if Conley is out, which at the moment he's listed as questionable. At 6,700, I don't really love using Conley anyway, so if he plays, then that's a wash. We just leave it as is. Marc Gasol at 8,100. Now, I like the matchup for him, and big men do go off against Portland, but that's a big salary. Can he get 40 points? Yeah, he can, and if he's going to do it, it's going to be this game. So definitely consider Marc Gasol. If Lillard plays at 9,000, I'm definitely not using him. And CJ McCollum is at 8,400 now. At 8,400, he needs to get 43 points. Now, he's averaging 44 across his last five. This is not a good matchup for shooting guards, but if he plays the point guard, things change a little bit into his favor. So if there's no Lillard, I'd consider McCollum. If there is Lillard, I'm not spending 8,400 on him. The return of Matt Barnes is going to make things confusing. Tony Allen, Zach Randolph, Courtney Lee, Barnes himself, Jeff Green. Who's going to get the majority of the minutes? At this point, we don't know. So I reckon I'm going to be steering clear of all those guys at this point in proceedings. The last game of the night, speaking of injuries, there is a shitload in this one. A massive amount of injuries to look at is the Charlotte Hornets and the Golden State Warriors. Let's look at the Warriors. Festus Ezeli is doubtful with his toe. Harrison Barnes is likely back. He is probable. James Michael McAdoo, happy birthday. He is out. Leandro Barbosa is out. Brandon Rush is probable with a hamstring. Steph Curry is questionable with his leg. There's a lot to take in there. I doubt that Curry plays, to be honest. So that makes Draymond Green at 9,700 an awesome guy to look at, and Klay Thompson at 7,600. Both of those guys have value. And I'll talk about them a little bit later when I look at the daily fantasy value plays of the day. Both of those guys have tremendous value if Steph Curry's out. I'd be a little bit more hesitant, to use them if Curry happens to find his way into the game. With Ezeli likely out, Andrew Bogut is a tournament option at 4,300. We know that he can give you 25, 27 points. It's not an easy game for him, so I'd probably leave him out of it. 4,600 for Cody Zeller. Yep, a quiet game in the last one. Okay with running him back out there. And Jeremy Lin at 5,400. He's questionable with the ankle, even though he played big minutes in the last game. At 5,400, yes, I'm okay with using him. 7,400 for Nick Batum with the toe and questionable. I would probably leave him alone, though. Maurice Spates at 3,500 might be a sneaky tournament play because we saw last season a lot. He'd get hot and score 15 points in about 10 minutes. And with McAdoo out and with Ezeli likely out, there might be a little bit of extra run and a few extra shots for Spate. So at 3,500, a minimum guy in a tournament, not bad. The return of Barnes probably limits Andre Iguodala's usefulness. Kemba Walker, 8,800. Look, got killed last time he played Steph Curry. But if Curry's out at 8,800, that's a big salary. Can he get to 45 points? He's averaging 47 across his last five. 44 across the last three. So, yes, he can, but if Curry plays, I don't want to take that risk. Otherwise, I think that you can go and use Walker as a guy who is just absolutely red hot. If Curry's out, Sean Livingston at 3,900 is not a bad guy to look at, averaging 20 across his last five games, some with Steph, some without. Marvin Williams, we leave alone, and Harrison Barnes, are not playing him in his first game back from ankle injury. All right, don't forget, guys. I'll give SeatGeek another shout-out. Don't forget, go to SeatGeek.com, either on the website or download the free app and use that promo code, which you can see on the screen, REDROCK, $20 free for you after your first purchase. Help the podcast out, help support the show, help everything get better on this end. That's another shout-out for SeatGeek. They weren't expecting a second one, but they can have it. The DFS plays of the day. Shane Larkin at 4,500 is a real good option, I think. Ish Smith at 5,700. Yeah, a couple of disappointing games, but I look for him to bounce back. Isaiah Thomas at 81. Shooting guard Zach LaVine, 4,500. Rod Hood at, I think I should say, 5,300. And Klay Thompson at 7,600. Small forwards Bojan Bogdanovic at 41. Evan Turner at 5,400, who'll pick up extra slack with, what's that guy's name? Avery Bradley sitting out. And Kevin Durant at 99. Power forwards Trevor Booker, 44, Thad Young, 67, and Draymond Green, 97. And at center, Stephen Adams, 4,000, Hassan Whiteside at 7,500, and Andre Drummond at 9,300. We are done here, guys. Thank you for listening. Thank you for subscribing. I know some people were listening to this podcast on the Hardwood Paroxysm feed. There's been a few issues with the Hardwood Paroxysm feed, so obviously it's not appearing there. So I don't know how you found the podcast, if that's where you listen to it, but If by chance, subscribe to the Red Rock feed. You'll be able to find it there. The podcast is going from there as we've migrated across to Blog Talk Radio, and the Hardwood Paroxysm guys are coming across there as well. There's just been a few hiccups in getting that across, and then you'll see the podcast reappear in that feed. Subscribe on iTunes, subscribe in YouTube, leave a review, and support SeatGeek. Go ahead and use that promo code REDROCK for $20. $20 back after your first purchase. As always, there's basketballmonster.com and their Twitter account, which is BaskMonster, for all the up-to-date fantasy news and injury information as it happens. We are done here, guys. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.